The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And I'd like to welcome Ms. Aya Akila Jaramogi, CEO of and co-founder of American Past, president of American Heritage Foundation, and American Descent. Good morning to you, Akila. How are you?
I am good, given thanks.
It is so good to hear from you, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. So let's start with the basics. For those who have not heard of these descendants to Trinidad and Tobago, can you give a brief history as to when the original settlers came to Trinidad and Tobago and where they came from?
Isheshe olao bokawato orisha. Ekaro, everyone. I am Iya Akila Jaramogi, proud descendant of Americans here in Trinidad. And first, I would like to say our history started in Africa. So I give thanks to my African ancestors. I give thanks as I call their names and offer light and pour libation. I offer light and pour libation on behalf of all those who were murdered, abused, raped, refused, neglected, and taken away against their will from Mama Africa. These Africans were placed on plantations throughout America. Areas such as Virginia, North and South Carolina, Spanish Florida, Alabama, and Louisiana. Here they were placed on plantations against their will, but a lot of them resisted. A lot of them ran away from plantations, burned down plantations, freed themselves, and lived in the forests and swamps and along the shoreline, hoping to get out of bondage. Something happened in 1812 when the British and the Americans decided to fight for America. The British army, however, was weak and they called for help. Our ancestors mobilized themselves from Virginia to Louisiana. Those that were in hiding, those that were already marooned in hills and wherever they could have hide from massa, from dogs, from guns, they were willing to come out and offer themselves to the British in return for their freedom. They offered to fight for their freedom, and they were given the red coats, and they then were part of the British army. They fought for their freedom. However, the British ended up losing the war. But the agreement was, at the end of the war, they would be sent to a British colony somewhere out of America. Our ancestors did not just give themselves. They came with a plan. They strategized a way out of bondage. At the end of the war in 1814, it was a very short war. As I said before, Britain ended up losing the war. Our ancestors were sent to Bermuda on garrison duties. There in Bermuda, they were offered again to fight on the side of the British. The Africans said no, they don't want to fight anymore. They want their freedom. They want what was promised to them. They offered them again to form a brigade of their own. They said no. They offered them to join the West Indian Regiment. They said no, they want their freedom. The British were not very pleased about that, and our ancestors did not back down. We did not care about fighting for British or whoever, for Britain or whoever. We just wanted our freedom. So from Bermuda, we were sent to Halifax in Canada in 1815. And there we settled for a while. Some of our ancestors walked off the vessel. Those who stayed on were sent to South Trinidad in late 1815 and 1816. When sent to Trinidad, the first batch of soldiers that settled, now ex-soldiers, Africans and their families in Trinidad, they were sent to Laventille and Caroni while awaiting the land preparation for them in South Trinidad. They later moved on to the first company village named after the order in which they served on the British Army. They settled in first company known as Devil's Wood Yard, Hindustan, Naji Road, for those of you who are familiar with South, and we settled there. But look at it, our people were sent to one of the most dreaded space where the volcano is now.
Well, this
so
is a lot of...
on the side of the British. Hi?
No, I was just saying that a lot of this history you're talking about is not commonly known in schools. We know about the Arawaks and the Caribs and the indigenous peoples from there, but this is information that you've been trying to disseminate for quite some time now with the birth of your own organization to get this information out. What other parts of the history of the Americans that is significant to the development of TNT? How did they play a role pre-independence and post-independence?
Yes, so when they settled, the first company settled in Hindustan, second company, Matilda and so on, third company, Indian Walk, fourth company, again on the Indian Walk area, going to Moruga, and that was the Indian trail that, not the indentured Indian, but the indigenous Indians that came from, the Waro Indians that came from Venezuela, and the sixth company connects all the companies. We came as skilled men and women, and we helped build Trinidad and Tobago. You know, we came with an asset to develop Trinidad and Tobago. And this is the role that we continue to play, you know, developing Trinidad and Tobago in many ways. We came with our spirituality as well. So you'll find all the Baptist churches and so on. A lot of Americans are part of the foundation. We are also part of the foundation of the Orisha Yoruba way of life. When we came, we met Yorubas in the company villages as well. Yorubas came as early as 1807 and settled in third and fifth company. And that is where our ancestors like Papanisa and others got their, you know, got initiated into our Yoruba way of life. So again, the foundation was set as early as the time that they arrived. And being owning class blacks during, while slavery was still going on, that was one of our strengths. We were able to move from north to south as free blacks. We did not want to be called Americans, so we called ourselves Americans. And here today, we continue to stand tall and proud on the shoulders of our ancestors. You will hear names like Atwater and Andrews and Ayers and Cole and Cooper and Bailey and Blackwell and Braxton and Burton and Dixon, McNish, Dunmore, Elliot, Floyd, Foreman, Fortune. You'll hear names, and these are some of the soldiers that settled, and these are some of the Africans throughout Trinidad today that contribute and still contribute to the building of Trinidad and Tobago. You'll hear about Maestro, you know, the past Calypsonian, and Cooper, all our Victoria Cooper and all our, you know, the great stick fighters, again, from the American community. So you hear about Weston and Webbs and Thompson and Teasdale and Smith and Saunders and Shiel, Casey Manning dad as well. You know, he was one of the elders that wrote one of the first books in South Trinidad. We used to call him Teacher Alfred Huggins, and he was one of the great, you know, teachers and leaders in the Company Villages, along with Hackshaw and others. So the work done by the Americans and now surviving descendants, you know, still remain unrecognized. And this is the time for us to get our education in the history books of Trinidad and Tobago.
And I know with your presence in the Emancipation Village for the past couple of years has started to gain that attention for the American Heritage Foundation, and also your work with the Fonsaman Foundation as well. Would you like to speak a little bit about the Fonsaman community?
Oh, yes. I am here in the forest of Fonsaman. I've been here for over 40 years, taking what I learned from South Trinidad and bringing it to the hills in St. Anne's. Coming to St. Anne's in the early 80s and seeing a degraded hillside, it hurt my heart to see how people fail to respect and appreciate the forest. For us in South Trinidad, we always see the forest as sacred and the environment as sacred. So I encouraged my late husband to let us plant, you know, long-term crops, because he was practicing, you know, short-term agriculture with some of his friends in the hills in St. Anne's here. And we went to South Trinidad and got trees to start. And today we have planted over 100,000 trees, converting the fire climax zone into a now healthy agroforestry project. And, you know, this is very, very important, because coming from South, I did not gravitate to the city. I just wanted to be in the forest, wanted to practice, you know, the lifestyle that I saw in South Trinidad. A space where I can praise my ancestors and practice my traditional life ways, like the Orishas, you know, way of life, praise my deities and so on. And this is a good example, one of the many examples that you would see Americans in Trinidad, you know, contributing to the goodness and the well-being of our country. So I just give thanks for this moment and again, putting out that plea that Americans need the attention that they deserve. In the landscapes where we settle, there's little or nothing much to show of our presence. Our ancestors who had owned land and passed on lands to us, a lot of these lands are gone now. In the hands of folks who are showing deed and all the stuff that they own, our ancestors' land. And this is not right. There are needs in our community that still need to be addressed, like having museums and archives and spaces where we can celebrate our Papanisa shrine, and all these things need to be, you know, installed and you know, continue to praise and appease our ancestors, because they have contributed tremendously to building Trinidad and Tobago and keeping the tradition alive. We have also taken this work outside of Trinidad, working with Maroons throughout the Caribbean and reach as far as the UN, where we share our declaration that was created right here in Trinidad and along with our Caribbean colleagues. And I still ask, you know, and plead on this program and plead to all the listeners, if you're American, come forward. You don't need to be part of an organization. It's a way of life. If you're American, come forward and do something for your people. Mm-hmm. Go to Hard Bag in Williamsville and look at what is happening there. Join with those who try to keep the tradition alive and continue to keep the tradition alive. Come down to South Trinidad and lend of yourself. Your ancestors worked hard for their freedom. They fought for their freedom. And in return, all we can do is appease them and give thanks, celebrate them and keep their legacy alive. So when you pass through the landscapes of South Trinidad, you should see monuments, you should see arts on the wall, you should see, you know, come into museums where you can learn about us, who we are and from whence we came. And this is what we are asking for. So I give thanks for this moment as we celebrate life, we celebrate Trinidad and Tobago, we celebrate emancipation. But what is emancipation? How can we say we are free when, you know, we are still in the shades, we are still, you know, like seasick, we still haven't settled yet. Not just American, but I'm talking about African in general. You know, our Black men, you know, need a sense of a purpose, you know, to live for, something to live for. something to look up to, you know, and this is what we are trying to do within our American community, to re-educate our people, to empower our people to celebrate their goodness and keep the legacy alive. So, you know,
it's more focused on developing what the traditions are, who you are as a group of people, and also a very heavy focus on climate and agriculture. I wanted to touch a little more on your process on going abroad to the, you went to the United Nations. Did you also go to the climate summit to present your paper on that climate change experience?
Oh, yes, I did. I did went to COP in Dubai. And yes, I attended COP in Dubai last year. And I had the opportunity to share the work of not just Bonsumon, but the Americans as well.
Mm-hmm.
How we have been able to address food security and food sovereignty by holding on to some of our traditional seeds that came from way back, you know, in 1816. For example, American hill rice, our corn, our benny, you know, the way we live, the way we feed ourselves and our families. I was able to share that and some of the challenges that we face, because now you're talking climate crisis and it's, you know, a lot of challenges that we undergo as keepers of the earth and keepers of tradition. Then also going to the UN Permanent Forum for People of African Descent, I had the privilege there again to advocate for the rights of Americans and the rights of Maroons throughout the diaspora, and also going to the UN Permanent Forum for People of for Indigenous Peoples. We were there lobbying for Maroons and Americans to be declared Indigenous, to be acknowledged as Indigenous, because we came from, you know, an Indigenous space, and we maintain our traditions of who we are, you know, Indigenous Africans in the West. So again, Tesca, it's a lot of work that we have been doing on the ground, but in our national landscape, I still find there's so much missing. There's so many, even Americans themselves still don't know who they are. The children in our schools still, you know, are, you know, deprived from the education that they need to know. Colonizers deliberately, you know, suppress our history. And I think this is the time, if we are talking liberation, Black liberation, if we are talking freedom, if we are talking emancipation, we have the rights to educate our children and the rights to truth and justice. So, you know, being an independent state here, I think, you know, we need to lobby for what is right, and we need to lobby for our education and our life ways to be promoted at a higher level.
What about documentation? Has there any effort made to document the story of the Americans, the Maroons, the story of Fonzaman, and to distribute to schools, libraries? Has that happened as yet?
Oh, yeah, we have been doing, but we still need to do more. As I said before, we have one of our books, The Saga of the Companies, written by Alfred B. Huggins. That's Asa Manning's dad. We also have The Forgotten Freedom Fighters in the War of 1812, that documentary, and the book written by, the book was written by one of our relatives, Tina Dunkley, and the documentary on the Forgotten Freedom Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
We got support from the U.S. Embassy at that in 2012. And that documentary is out there that needs to be shown, you know, to our young people especially, right? And for Fonsuman, the testimony is here, you know. If you look at the landscape from a fire climax zone, you can come now and see. However, we do have information. We have our Earth Water Woman documentary. We have some, you know, case studies done on Fonsuman, but still there need to be more work that, you know, can be shared and look at as a model for other communities, to empower other communities, so, you know, we can keep this tradition alive and appreciate who we are and the work that has been passed on from generation to generation being sustained. Yeah.
And also the story of the Americans was put into film, a documentary that was shown at some film festivals. How was the response to that at the showings?
Oh, yes, it went well. You know, the people just wanted more and asked how can this be, you know, shown at a national level. You know, it was aired a couple times on television, but still, you know, we need to do more. We need it in the schools. We need it, you know, in communities. And we need the young people to come forward. We need the young people in our community to get, you know, that hands-on information and education about, you know, the Americans. Because even outside of Trinidad, you find people knowing even more about us than we knowing about ourselves. And I find this is really hard. I met the Seventh Company of Soldiers in Florida some years ago, and that's the soldiers from the Apalachicola River in Florida. In 1816, this group of soldiers were, and their families were murdered by Andrew Jackson when he destroyed the fort after the war. That was a war crime that was committed, and today we are working on that as well to bring, you know, justice and truth to our people. So, and these are histories that was deliberately excluded from the history books, and now we are bringing the truth alive. So Tuskegee, a lot of work needs to be done on the ground, and I'm calling on researchers and scholars, come forward, American scholars, come forward, come study your history and pass on, you know, this knowledge to the young generation, because we need it. We need it. We cannot, if we fail to do this now, we will fail the children and we will fail our ancestors.
Because I was just about to ask you what the process was like gathering all of that information in terms of documents and records. Is it like the, for comparison's sake, where the there's this show we do genealogy lineage and there are books where you can tell the date that the Americans entered the country? Is there like a ship log that you all saw? What was the process like?
Oh, yes, we had a lot of researchers going out there and bringing in information. A lot of them passed information to our National Archives. I want to say thanks to National Archives. They have been, you know, gathering information on us as well as the National Library, NALIS. So when I find stuff that is not recorded, I would immediately go to the National Archives and, you know, share information with them. They were part of the process as well when we were talking with the folks in Florida. And we had several meetings. We signed a memorandum of agreement with the Florida Forest Department. And that is to continue doing the work, archiving the work, and sharing the information, not just in Florida, but Trinidad as well. So what is going on in Florida, they are sending information to us. And from here, we are sharing with them as well. But that's just one side of it. There's so much more need to be done. As I say, I put that shout out for a museum in our community. We already have the land and everything. We have artifacts. Papanisa's granddaughter, Leonis Roberts, is storing a lot of artifacts in a back room. And this is not right. When we go there and we bring visitors to Trinidad, you know, it's hard for me to say, take you in a little room space in the back of a house. You know, we need help within our community. We need these projects to come alive. Our museum is one of the biggest need. Our library, Fonsuman, is being used as a resource center to store a lot of American information as well. But we here at Fonsuman still need an archive pavilion where we can open up the doors and people can come in and do research and so on. So a lot of work still is needed. A
lot to be done.
And resources.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of money to have one to keep the archive safe and to actually do the research. And on the other side of it, in terms of traditions and learning the skills that the Americans did have, one part of it, which I knew you for, is the jewelry side of it, where you incorporate a lot of natural elements, seeds, and pieces to make your jewelry. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that has been passed on to others to, you know, to continue that tradition?
Oh yeah, I always love being connected to Mother Africa, no matter what, in whatever way, be it fashion, be it prayers, be it, you know, forestry, whatever way. And for me, doing my line of ecological jewelry, being in the forest and planting my trees and using the seeds and beads from the land to do my line of jewelry is, you know, a sense of resilience, a sense of sustainable livelihood, where, you know, you can take nothing and make something. And this is Americans. We never without. We always find ways to survive, and the jewelry has helped me in many, many different ways, you know, taking this work throughout the Americas, throughout the Caribbean, you know, North America, Europe. I've traveled with my line of jewelry. And when I share the information, it's not just about fashion. It's about our American history. It's about Bornsumon. It's about reforestation project. It's about, you know, ecological pathway to fashion, how we can be more fashion conscious, you know, reducing our carbon footprint by using things within our natural environment instead of importing all the stuff, the, you know.
And that is a huge point, because using local materials seem to be taboo in that, oh, it that cheap, you know, and it's not. So I'm glad that you brought that point up as well.
No, well, folks who know me, you will know that the jewelry is not cheap. And because when I explain the processes involved, and you would know too, going in the forest and harvesting your seeds, and then cleaning your seeds and drilling your seeds and treating your seeds and then designing, you know, it's a lot of steps before you reach that finished product. That's why I say from the forest to the runway, an ecological pathway to fashion, you know, bringing balance to Mother Earth. So when I plant a soap seed tree, I don't just plant the tree for the jewelry. I plant the tree to help, you know, reforest the land, to keep the land, to prevent erosion, to give us clean air to breathe, you know, to create a habitat for wildlife. There's so many uses, so many values in planting and using your seeds and beads to make jewelry, to encourage wildlife, to do so many things. And yeah, that's why I just enjoy my line. And I have been doing this for over 30 years. And today I feel proud that I can share this tradition and skill to others, you know, as a way out. Yeah.
Well, Ms. Jaimogi, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about the different aspects of your service to TNT, the American Heritage Foundation, Fonzaman, and of course, your jewelry line. Unfortunately, what's the name of your jewelry line again?
Akilah's Jewelry.
Nice. And are there any ways that those who are interested in getting in touch with you to, one, find out about your work and what is needed for the continuation of the process, and for those who want to learn more about their heritage, they may heard a name stated within the conversation and say, well, probably that could be a relative. How can they get in touch with you to do that research?
Okay, we have not just me, they can get in touch with. We have three organizations that are working on the ground. The American Commission, who have been doing a lot of work. They came in a little later, but then it's bringing all the American groups together. So we have the American Commission, we have American Heritage Foundation, which is the organization that I co-founded, and we have American Incorporation. And American Incorporation, we will be having American Arrival Day ceremony on the 20th of August. This month here is our American Arrival Day ceremony, and we will be doing a candlelight procession on the streets of South Trinidad. And so these organizations have been doing work, you know, our American family have been doing work. And so anybody want to get in touch with us, we are all on Facebook. You just go into, you know, search American and chess. A lot of information will pop up. You can contact me at 689-7794. You can contact my president of American Heritage Foundation. That's Marva Sandy at 768-1247. And you will get more information as to how to get on to our other relatives from the American Commission and the American Incorporation. We look forward to you coming and join us on the 20th of August in South Trinidad. Just contact us and you'll get more information. Ashe.
Thank you so much, Mr. Amuri. So, well, it's so good to talk to you. So we'll meet up again soon.
Ashe. Blessings.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.